So our text is from Ephesians, these words, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, admittedly, it will be impossible to unpack our text in its fullness, examining its individual parts and marveling as we would marvel at each individually wrapped Christmas present we take out of a box we receive in the mail from a relative before Christmas. We simply don't have the time. For there truly are a lot of presents, a lot of gifts, like we just sang in the hymn, delivered to us in the box labeled the Ascension of Jesus Christ and addressed to us, the Christian church here on earth. The biggest gift to us in the Ascension of Jesus Christ, that in the Ascension, Christ doesn't go away from us, but he comes to us. That he doesn't go away from us, but he comes to us. That's it. That's it. Christ's ascension into heaven, his being carried up into heaven, as we read in Luke, was not about Jesus getting away, finally ridding himself of humanity, of mankind, of you and me, or even his own human nature, but of Christ assuming a position of power and authority whereby he could continually be with each and every one of us. He could continually watch over each and every one of us and continually rule the heart and mind and soul of each and every one of us to the extent that the church, the Christian church on earth, is called his fullness. Yes, the ascension of the body of Jesus Christ became no longer visible to anyone here on earth, to you and to me, let alone those disciples in the first century. But it did so. Christ made it so that his body could fill the earth, and it does visibly through the presence of the church on earth, and that is you and me. How can we understand that? You know, there's this thing, it's called cloud computing, and I think you've probably heard of it. You know, if we had used that term 30 years ago, if we'd used the term cloud computing, we would have thought it had something to do with predicting the weather. Well, that's not what cloud computing is, as you know. That expression refers to the ability via the internet to use hundreds, if not thousands, of computers at the same time to do complex calculations that just one computer could not do. Now, most users of the cloud, as it is called, don't use it that way. But they simply use it to store data, copy files from our tablets and phones and laptops. But the cloud can do and does do so much more. Think of it, hundreds, if not thousands, of computers all over the world connected via the internet working on the same problem, working on the same issue, the same thing. And of course, there is one computer who's in charge of the rest, but the rest, they're needed. They're needed to accomplish what that one computer wants to accomplish. Now, don't go all doomsday on me here and start thinking worst-case scenarios and apocalyptic terror and human enslavement to machines. Instead, think of how this modern phenomenon called cloud computing helps us to understand the ascension of Jesus Christ and his continued visible presence in the world via each and every one of us. Think of how our Savior uses his Spirit to accomplish within each and every one of us his purpose, the same purpose, to make each and every one of us like him, like Christ. Think of how instead of the two hands of Jesus and the two feet of Jesus, the body of Christ, the church throughout the world today, has millions, if not billions, of hands and millions, if not billions, of feet, all serving their neighbors in love. And this occurs because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. All things were put under his feet. And he was given as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, the cloud idea, cloud computing, helps us to understand this reality we live in now as Christians, as each of us is a member of the body of Christ, being directed by Christ, working together in Christ, So we are part of this spiritual cloud, we could say, which is the Holy Christian Church. And that truly is comforting, for it means we're part of something much bigger than just ourselves. We are part of the body of Christ, which as our head, Christ, is far above all earthly rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name which can be named. We need not fear. We need not be frightened. We need not shrink back from anything in this world, thinking that somehow our Lord Jesus Christ cannot act in a given situation in our lives, because it's just too much for him. What does Jesus, after all, know about retirement income? What does Jesus know about raising teenagers? What does Jesus know about adult siblings that simply don't want to seem to grow up? What does Jesus know about starting a new job? So what can we find ourselves thinking, and thinking as well, but that our Lord Jesus Christ is good for Sunday, for a sermon or two, a hymn or a Bible study, but for the everyday, for the nitty-gritty of life? There we have to go it on our own. There, we're all by ourselves. There, everyday life, we're responsible for ourselves, for our failures. There, we struggle from day to day, and as long as we think that way about our day-to-day struggles, the tendency is for us to think the same way about our relationship to Jesus himself. It's so easy with our strugglings and strivings in life to begin to think that somehow, even when it comes to Jesus, it's a matter of struggling and striving. He's way up there in heaven, occupying himself with something really important while we're down here on earth trying to get his attention, trying to get a hold of him, trying to get some sort of help in some way from him, but feeling like nothing is happening, that we're failing. But all that demonstrates on our part is a lack of trust, doesn't it? And even doubt, doubt that what Christ our Savior has told us is true, that he is always with us. There it says it on the banner. That he actually now, not simply as God, but as man, has all power and dominion, that is lordship over all creation, and that means our very existence. Let's repent of such doubt and again embrace with the arms of faith the reality of our existence as members of the body of Christ, our head being the ascended Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let's not doubt his power and authority to work in our lives, even though he wields it now, not just as God, but as man. Now you see, that can be our disconnect, thinking that since Jesus is God, he remains spiritually aloof from us. But that was not the point of the ascension either. The point of the ascension is not that Jesus returned to heaven as God and just carried on as God, as the Son of God, as he always had. No, with the ascension, something brand new happened of the utmost importance to us, and that is that Jesus Christ assumed all power and authority, all dominion and might over all creation, not just as God, but as man. That means that Christ is the head of his body, the church, as someone like you, as someone like me. That means even as he is the head of the church, he remains cognizant of our existence as human beings, our troubles, our trials, because he himself, Jesus Christ, is still, he's still a human being. Yes, he's a glorified human being, as we ourselves will be in the resurrection, but Jesus is not just God, and he's not an angel. But Jesus Christ rules his church. He rules us in our hearts and minds and consciences as someone just like us, but without sin. So what does he do? But through his word, through his sacraments, he comes to us by his Spirit, and he convinces us again and again and again that his suffering and death on the cross was for us, for the forgiveness of our sin. And what does he do but by the power of this Holy Spirit convince us again and again and again that he was raised from the dead for our justification? That is, from his position of power and authority, Christ constantly is encouraging and comforting and assuring us, his body, that we live daily in the forgiveness of sin and in him have life and salvation, and we remain in him and he in us. Now, I think here we can think that somewhat like what we have to do with our own bodies on occasion. Yeah, it's like what we have to do with our own bodies on occasion, right? I mean, don't we have to encourage our bodies with our heads? You know what I'm talking about. We can do this. We can get out of bed. We can get up that flight of stairs. We can weed the flower bed. We can ride in the car for hours. 2 weeks ago, I played a round of golf for the first time this spring, and well, that's 5 miles of walking. And the way I play, sometimes it's a lot more. So teeing up the ball on the first tee, I had to think, can I do this? Can I walk 5 miles chasing a little ball this way and that over all of creation, swinging a club again and again and again and again? My arm said, maybe. And my leg said, what? 5 miles? So my head had to say, come on, body, let's go. Well, because of the ascension of Jesus Christ, that is what our Lord can and does say to his body, the church, all over the world with its billions of arms and billions of legs. Come on, body, let's go. In essence, that is what happens every time the Word of God is preached, every time the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is administered. When such occurs, it's the head of the church in these end times strengthening and encouraging and comforting his body, the church, to continue to be his visible presence on earth. Now, that's a bit mind-blowing for sure, but chiefly it should be for us a great assurance that we are not alone in our day-to-day struggles. We're not alone even as our life pertains to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For not only does he continue to be with us, but he continues to make us be with him. For we are, in a sense, his glory. We're his glory, like the train of the robe of the Lord we read about in Isaiah chapter 6, filling the temple in which Isaiah saw him. On occasion, we sing about that right before the reception of the Lord's Supper when we sing Isaiah, Mighty Seer Sword. What's the point of tying those two ideas together, the Lord in Isaiah and the Lord's Supper? Is it not that indeed our ascended Lord and Savior now sits at the right hand of God, his glory continuing to be seen in the person and work of his body? That is the church. That is you and me. It is. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us rise for prayer.